authorities, chapter, this is my second one, Luke chapter 7, verse 6. It says, "For I myself..." This is a Roman centurion or soldier or commander. He says, "For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me." He says, "I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes, and I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." And when Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and he turned to the crowd following him, and he said, "I tell you, I have not found such great faith in all Israel," even in Israel. And so, even amongst the Hebrews, God's chosen people, he had not found this kind of attitude, and he was kind of amazed that this guy kind of got it. You know, I talked about authorities last week, and this story is interesting because it isn't only a story about how this man received healing for his servant. It's a story behind the power in the execution of faith. And one of the reasons people have weak faith is because they do not understand authorities. They don't understand how authority has been dispensed to them, and so therefore they don't know that they have it to use. And so it causes us to go without a lot of times just because we don't understand. And so this Roman soldier, he was a commander, and he understood that he was under authority, so he wasn't confused by that. And he was also a authority, and he understood that. He wasn't confused by those two concepts. And he wasn't repulsed by the fact that a lowly Jew had the authority to do what he couldn't. And he must have heard stories about Jesus healing people. He saw Jesus as someone with authority to heal. And so, of course, his first thought is, hey, you know, he understands authority, so he's going to the man with authority. And so he goes to Jesus, and that didn't bother him. And so being an authority and being submitted to authority, you know, it's part of the same cloth. And it isn't an insult to be under authority. We're all under authority. And it isn't an insult to need an authority in your life. Jesus is the only one who has total authority. All authority has been given to Jesus Christ in heaven and earth. Okay, but he distributes it. He assigns it. He distributes it out as he pleases. And, you know, as he sees fit. And he gives one person authority in one area, another person authority in another area, and he just puts it all out there, and it's all distributed. It's all, you know, it's all cut up and put out there, but it's one authority. He distributes it as he sees fit. The authority of the church is greater than the authority of any one individual in the church. It's our corporate authority that is complete. But none of us are complete in ourselves. It's in unity that the authority that Jesus distributes that is brought together in you. You know, it's in that unity that our power is made perfect. That's where the best stuff happens. Where there's disunity, where people don't understand, where there's not cooperation, where there's divisions and all of that things, the devil has a lot more room to play. He gets away with a lot more than if we understand how the game is played. And we work as a cohesive unit. As a pastor, I have one kind of authority in the church, but it's just one kind. But I'm not a one-man show. Even if I ever act that way, which I like to do sometimes, it's not true. Even amongst pastors, there is a variation of authorities. Not every pastor is the same. I have authority here at Abundant Life Family Church, but another pastor has authority in Washington, D.C., and I don't have authority there. Another pastor, he has authority as a hospital chaplain. And so my authority included the ability to start a church. Some pastors never ever start a church. Some of them just go in where churches have already been established and take those over. And you that know the story of how this church was established, which I'm not going to go into today, from the very beginning, you know, I wrote letters to people who wanted to desert the effort very early on, and I said, don't do it. I told them exactly what was going to happen and how we was going to persevere and what God's plan was and all those things. And I told them, and the reason was because I knew that I was not here by my own design. And at least that was my faith. And so because I knew that, I knew that God had a plan. I knew that he had a design he was going to accomplish. I still don't understand everything or where we're going. But I knew that I was supposed to come and to do this. And just because you know that and you think that, guess what? Everybody doesn't always agree with you. And so you have to persevere. And the desire to amass human authority, you know, the desire to make everyone dependent upon you, and so that you're not dependent upon anyone, okay, that comes from the devil. That's not how God, the kingdom of the heaven works. You know, that's the kingdom of the devil. He's the one that wants to amass all the power and have everyone dependent upon him. That's a wicked kind of thinking. That's why he rebelled against God, and he didn't like mankind having a part in what God was doing. And God gave authority to mankind, and the devil didn't want that. The devil didn't want to come down and be guardian over God's creation, over this mankind, and assist man in what he was charged to do by God. He wanted to be, he says, the heck with that nonsense. And so his idea of authority was being the master who is served by everyone else. And he did not approve of the beauty of God's designs. And quite frankly, sometimes when we're a kid, what do we want to do? We want to grow up. Why? So we can be the boss. And we're thinking, you know what? Then I can send somebody to the refrigerator and get my Coke. I can tell someone else, I can tell them to go mow the yard or take out the trash and all those kinds of things. And that's what they think that growing up is. How many of you know that growing up and becoming an authority in your household is a lot more than telling a kid to take trash out? It's like, I'll tell you what, I'll take the trash out, you pay the light bill. I'll take care of this, you go, those kind of things. And so it's not quite what we thought when we start out, but we have our ideas. And so a lot of times humanity never gives up on that. They still want to amass authority so they can have someone rub their feet. So they can be the one that's treated, and they don't ever have to, that kind of thing. That's not the kind of authority God dispenses. God gives authority to servants to serve. God gives authority to servants so that they can do their work. And he does not give authority to masters so that they can be served. Do people misuse authority? Yes, we do. But we should not let that encourage our sinful nature to rebel. You have to understand, we already want to rebel against authorities. We already want to be the top dog. In our flesh, we want to do that. Okay, so when somebody makes a mistake, when your parents are trying to lecture you, you go, well, when you get a little older, so you get a little wiser, you see your parents' hypocrisy, and then you can point it out to them. How many of you were ever good at arguing with adults? Beat them down to a little bit, and show them because what you wanted to do is you wanted to go do something you wasn't supposed to be doing. Am I the only one that did that? Played those kind of games? All right, so we already have that nature within us to be that way. And so when we have an authority over us that makes a mistake, like our parents or whatever it is, you don't want to let that be a temptation to cause you to have an excuse to go do what you wanted to do anyway. The truth is, we want to rebel whether an authority is doing right or wrong. See, an authority is wrong when he is an abuser. And he does not empower those that God put under him. And, God doesn't want us to be lords so that we can have people serve us. God wants us to help those that he sent us to serve. And so societies where rulers hold where the masses are under strict authority, they suffer. They don't progress very well. So when America was formed, our forefathers had the foresight to give us liberties. And they recognized that God gave liberties. And so we live in a country where people have the liberty to pursue happiness, those kinds of things. And so we surpassed other nations. In the church, Jesus distributes authorities. And people abuse it too there. I know they do. Leaders will demand service instead of serving. People will usurp authority that's not theirs. People will rebel against authority. They do all the things in the church that they do in the world. But none of that should dissuade us from our need for authorities in our life. None of that should dissuade us from the plan, the real plan, the accurate plan that God has for us. One of the biggest obstacles that we face as Christians is not understanding the authority that God gives to us. And so we're dependent. But before we can understand the authority that God, before you can understand the authority that God has given you, you need to understand how authorities work. Sometimes we just don't understand the authority that Jesus gives to us and how he distributes it and what his purposes are in that. When God gave you parents, there was a purpose in that. I'm sorry if your parents didn't measure up, but his purpose was to provide a blessing, a covering, protection, guidance, upbringing, all of those things. That's what his purpose was. And when he makes you an authority in any kind of area, whatever that is, his purpose is for you to be a blessing to someone, to help them in some fashion. I had a man stop today. And he was by me, and when I was at McDonald's, he asked me, "What are you preaching about today?" I'm talking about God's authority, and he's put authority in you. And he goes, "Oh no, God's not putting any authority in me." And he was picking up my trash off my table to throw it away. And I says, "Yes, he did. He gave you authority to pick that trash up and go put it in the trash can for me." And so he had an ability to do something. I don't care if it's taking a glass of water to your wife or to buy her flowers or to just smile at somebody. I don't know how much authority, but you have authority. We tend to see authorities as something negative and dislikable. Authorities are people who get in our way. Okay, and they want to stop us from doing what it is we want to do. And we don't want our plans hindered or stifled or questioned or judged or any of those kinds of things. And so Jesus marveled at this man's faith because he didn't have any problem with any of it. Faith, he had faith that rested on his understanding that Jesus had authority to accomplish what he wanted to be done. I guarantee you there were plenty of people who didn't believe Jesus had authority. And they didn't receive any blessing. Go with me to Matthew chapter 7, verse 28, if you would. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as the teachers of the law. So why did Jesus teach as one who had authority? Because he understood that God had given it to him. Go with me to John chapter 14, verse 10. "Don't you believe that I am in the Father, and that the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing this work." You see, that's why he was so bold, because he understood. He understood who he was speaking for. He understood the power that was at work in him. He understood where it came from. As a mere human, you only have limited strength. Terry has more because she's been going to CrossFit. Jesus said that he wasn't speaking on his own authority. It was the Father, creator of the universe, that was living in him. Can you distinguish between, see, your authority and the authority that Jesus puts in you? Imagine that you have several employees and you promote one of them to be the manager of all the others. And later you come out onto the shop floor or wherever it is they work and you find all the employees just standing around. They're not working. And you can inquire about it and they said, "Well, you never give us anything to do." And so the manager that you promoted didn't assign them any tasks. And so they don't know what to do. They're just standing there. And so when you quizzed him, why didn't you give them something to do? He just said, "Well, I didn't know I could." And so you explained to him that you've given him authority. You've promoted him. It's his job now to make sure that these workers have jobs to do and keep them busy and that kind of thing. They're in charge. And but day after day, it's the same thing. Every time you walk in, everybody's just standing around. How are you going to react to that? Some Christians, you see, they act like that because they don't understand authority. So obviously, they don't understand the authority that Jesus Christ has put into their lives. So they just stand around. They have been given authority, but they act like they don't have any. Or what if you had an employee who refused to submit to your new manager? And when you ask him about it, he said, well, I'm sorry, but I am a lot smarter and capable than that manager you just hired. Would he say, well, excuse me, I'm so sorry that I misjudged, and I'm going to go right out there right now and fire him, and I'm going to give you that job? Is that what you expect to happen? But sometimes I guarantee you, in our hearts, when we're working someplace, that's what we expect to happen. See, without the right understanding of authority, God isn't going to give you more. See, some people think that because they have authority in one area, though, that they have authority in other areas. And so, like at my house, I'm the dad, and you know, there's certain things that rules in our house that we have that I've worked out with my wife and stuff. But if I come to your house and I start trying to be the dad there and say how we're going to run your house, how many of you would accept that? Would you consider that a no? You'd probably kick me, send me flying. You know, whatever you thought about me today, the next day you wouldn't think as much because you know, that's not my place, is it? So some people think they have authority. You know, you'll see this a lot. A successful businessman, he gets saved. Praise God. Okay, so they're already like, you know, sometimes they're like alpha dogs or whatever it is, alpha women. They, you know, they're like movers, shakers. They get things done. They've been successful in the things that they've done. And so they get saved. And so immediately they think they should run the church. Well, obviously everybody at that church is a bunch of buffoons. And now that they're saved and so successful, they should run the church. They should immediately just fill every role and take over, and off they go to the races. Well, the Roman commander didn't have that problem, did he? This Roman commander wasn't offended that God gave Jesus authority to heal instead of giving it to him. Some were offended, and they could not recognize the authority that God had put into Christ. Go with me to Matthew chapter 21, verse 23. You see, we make mistakes in both areas. Your problem might be that you're not recognizing authorities, right? But the problem also might be that you have not acknowledged and recognized the authority that's been put in you. I don't know which one. Probably a little bit of both. Matthew chapter 21, verse 23. Jesus entered the temple courts, and while he was teaching, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him. By what authority are you doing these things, they ask, and who gave you this authority? Now, they weren't really asking. They were telling Jesus that he didn't have authority. They were not protecting the honor of God or the temple. They were protecting their own positions. And you can read the rest of the story to see what happens. You know, if you don't believe that God put all authority in Jesus, then you won't believe that Jesus has put authority in you. You're not going to believe that he's distributed it in the church. You're not going to believe that he's given me authority or anyone else. You're not going to understand that the authority you have that surpasses your own abilities, that it's for everybody. It's for the benefit of others. It wasn't just given to you for yourself. It was given so that you could serve. And so you're not going to understand that. So what you're going to do is you're going to depend upon amassing worldly power as your source instead of recognizing the power that God has already put on the inside of you. And that's why we feel like we lack and that we're short and those kinds of things. God hasn't done his part. Has God put authority in you? Do I have a pastor's authority? Does God distribute authority in the church? And see, what you believe about these things will affect how you live your life and how you react. A lot of people will claim authority. I mean, I'm always amazed. I mean, Lord knows we need more pastors, but just a lot of people will just assume that they're pastors. And people will even show up here at Abundant Life Family Church in front of me and claim to be over me because they're like, They're apostles, and now they're in charge of, you know, they're my boss. And I don't really understand that. You know what I'm going to do? Brian Campbell works at AgriVision, And so I'd like to bless him. So Monday morning, I'm going to go over there and I'm going to tell them that I am now the new CEO. So, you know, I mean, that's just about how ridiculous that is. I will not accept someone's boastful claims over me or Abundant Life Family Church, those kinds of things. I believe God put me here to protect it, not to turn it over to somebody who's going to abuse it. I don't expect someone to let me claim authority over them, just so you know. Authority is something that we each choose to submit to or not submit to. So you need to ask questions like, does God want me here? You might conclude that you're not called to this place. And I don't have the authority of a pastor. You know, you might think that I don't have the authority of a pastor in your life. And so if those are your conclusions, it isn't for me to say. You know, that's not, you know, that's those are your decisions. Do I have authority here, even? Some people won't even acknowledge that. The religious leaders didn't think that Jesus had authority. How you understand or misunderstand these things will dictate how you act and how you think about your own lives. It bothers me when others show up claiming to be authorities and people will go after them without hesitation. It just shocks me how easily that happens sometimes. I mean, there are a lot of people that I love who won't listen to me. And I'm betting that if in there are areas in your life, there's people that you love that won't listen to you. But as soon as a stranger shows up making some boast, they can't wait to follow after him. Drives me nuts. But you ever had a kid that decided they were going to listen to a friend instead of you? That their friend had more wisdom than you did as their dad or mom? I mean, so it's not unnatural. I mean, these are natural things. I wish those people that made all those claims and everybody just ran after it like that, I wish they were who they were claimed, because I'd follow them too. Paul complained about this. And I'm not talking about it really so much a specific thing in the church, as I am just the kind of attitudes that we have. Paul complained about this. He spent time in prison. He was beaten. He was shipwrecked. He went hungry, without shelter. He paid a price to take the gospel to people. He paid a real price. But then these super apostles would show up and claim the offerings. And people couldn't wait to be played. It drove Paul nuts too. And so, you know, if that happened in Paul's day, it happens in our day. It's part of our human nature. You know, I don't know why it is. You know, we can have parents that love us and serve us, and then some slickster shows up and we're ready to go. Even though I talk this way, you need to make your own judgments. You choose who you submit to. That's your choice. You have authority over your money. You can give it to anybody you want or keep it. It's yours. But if rebellion is your leader, then here's the deal. You're just going to make wrong choices. And you will not benefit or be the benefit that God desires you to be. If you don't understand authorities, you're going to make wrong decisions. By my testimony, I was called to Creston. Okay, now, just because I make that testimony, that's just me. That's my words. That's my testimony, and you have to judge that. I can't demand that anyone accept that. People must look at my life. They must look at the love I show or don't show, the things I teach. And it gets confusing because no one's perfect. So you got to wade through all that. And you have to make a decision. So you have to be led by the Spirit. But here's the deal. If you do, and maybe you don't, but if you do accept that God called me here, what does that mean? What is the proper response and attitude towards that? Was it, you know, we're accustomed to people just coming and going, and, you know, at their own discretion. They come to town, they leave the town, they come into our lives, out of our lives. It's just, you know, whatever is going on in their minds at the time, or whatever, that's just kind of what they do. And so we don't think about these things. Did I come in my own validity, or did God send me here to be a blessing in your life? Did he dispense me here for a purpose, or did he not? And if you believe that Jesus dispatched me here, then how should you respond to that? I have watched people with a lot more talents than I try to start a ministry here in Creston, Iowa. And most of them have failed. I'm not judging, I'm just simply making an observation. It was happening long before I came here. Creston just chews up pastors and spits them out like they're gum. I have watched ministers come to town strutting feathers in their cap, only to leave with their tails tucked between their legs. And the reason is because they weren't called. They didn't have the authority. They had zeal. They envisioned grandeur, but their confidence was in their ability, not in their call. So when things got tough and people beat them up and spit at them and did all the things that happens to people who minister, they doubted, or they left, or they doubted and gave up, whatever happened. See, I'm not the only one that's called to Creston. I would never make that boast. But I am the one called to do what I'm doing. And people who don't understand authority, you know, have caused themselves a lot of unnecessary trouble. Go with me to Acts chapter 19, verse 13. Some Jews who went out driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. And they would say, in the name of the Jesus whom Paul preaches, I command you come out. And seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. And one day an evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? And then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all, and he gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. And so their mistake was, you know, they didn't really have the position or the authority. They certainly didn't know Jesus. And so things didn't work out. They got beat up. And so a lot of times we're presumptuous. And, and we can get ourselves into trouble. You know, God does give us authority over demons, by the way. But these men were not trying to use the authority that God gave them or that came through Christ. They hadn't received it from Jesus. They talked about, they tried to usurp Paul's authority. They talked about in the name of the Jesus whom Paul preaches. And they didn't even know Jesus themselves, and so it didn't work. They got beat up, and that's what happens when we don't understand authorities in our life. Sometimes we just think we don't need anybody else. And you do. You need everybody in the church, every single last one of them. Have some blessing, have been charged and given authority that's supposed to be part of your blessing. And part of your authority that you have is supposed to be part of our blessing also. Many people get sick and they die because they don't recognize the body of Christ. The church is Christ's body, if you didn't know that. And many people suffer because they don't recognize, in other words, the authority in the church. These guys thought that they could simply invoke the name of the Jesus whom Paul preaches. And so some people, they don't need a pastor on assignment in their life. They don't need a church. You know, they just have their own ways. I mean, it's, hey, I got saved just like everybody else. And so they're just gonna do it their way and those kind of things. And then they suffer for it. See, if someone wants to come to Creston or anything else, they need the authority to do it. You know, and if that's their desire and God has not called them or given them the authority to do it, then let them come and help someone who is on assignment. Because if they try to do something outside the established authorities when they don't have it, then they're going to get beat up. And that's what happens to us. Then they'll take their visions of grandeur and they'll go somewhere else and they'll get beat up there. And at the end, they will wonder why God is not blessing the work of their hands. He's not doing his part. And my comment would be, well, you selfish thing, repent, submit yourself to one another. And that's where it starts, you know, that willingness to submit to one another. Always when we're talking about submissive, it starts that way. Submit yourselves one to another. You know, there's no hot dogs in the bunch. There's just some people who serve more than others. If you don't understand authorities, if you don't understand what your authority is, if you don't understand what authority that you're under, you'll be kicked to the ground. God loves you. He isn't mad. But the devil, he doesn't love you. You see, if that commander, think about that commander, if he hadn't recognized Jesus' authority, and he just refused to go to any Hebrew when he was a Roman, and you know, and he had not gone to Jesus, his servant would have died. And that would have not been God's anger. He just didn't receive. And many times in our lives, it's the same thing. God's not angry. We just don't want to receive. We just kind of want to do it ourselves, call our own shots. This is what I believe. Maybe that works for you, but that doesn't work for me. It doesn't matter if it works for me or you. It matters what God says. What's God's plan? As time passes, I grow in my faith. You know, it's much stronger than what it was when I first came. I became more convinced of the authority that was working in me because of the things God did. So I realized that I'm not that slick. And and since I'm not that slick, and I know that, then it's not hard for me not to get prideful about it. When God moves, you know, I mean, my pride is in Christ. See, when someone tells me that I cannot, that I'm too weak, that I'm too faulty, they hold somebody else up that's like an angel compared to me, and yada, yada, yada. And I listen to my tapes, and I hear all the and all the, I think, my Lord, how come anybody comes and listens to me? That's why I don't usually listen to them. They depress me. They have good stuff in them if you get the points, but my goodness, it can be a challenge. So I apologize for that. And so I realize that. And but when someone tells me I can't and that I'm too weak, and you know, and my attitude is like, dude, you don't need to tell me that. I knew that long before you did. And I mean, I tend to agree. In fact, you know, I could give them some. I mean, half the time they're for saying that, well, that's not real, but let me give you some real stuff. I can tell you about some real faults. But here's the deal. I've seen God too many times work in spite of all of those things to not understand that he's doing something that's beyond me. And I know that. And so that's what gives me the confidence. My confidence is in his plan and what he's doing, not in myself. Like you, I'm just part of the church. And sometimes people get frustrated by that. If you just come and sit in the office and talk with me, you know, they think, well, you know, you don't sound like a pastor today, or, you know, whatever. And I agree. I don't, anyway, I don't have this vision to be some sort of big guru that, or whatever. I'm not. I'm not. And if that's what people are looking for, they're in the wrong place. I must submit to you. I understand that. Well, I mean, that means that I must serve you. I understand that. I am not my own. And as an under-shepherd of Jesus over his body, I realize that I'm working for him. And so my heart is always to protect the sheep, protect the church, keep the wolves out. You know, make sure that to give him the word of God the best that I can. To, you know, and how well I do, like any dad. I suppose no dad's perfect, but I just do the best I can. But my heart is on my family. And, you know, I'm at home with my family and my kids, my wife. I am not thinking 24/7 how I'm going to benefit by their service. That's just not how I think. With Christ in my heart, I think about how can I serve my family. How can I be a better husband? How can I be a better dad? What do I need to be changing? What do I need to be doing to grow? Because, you know, I didn't start out with everything I needed. And so I just work on that. Well, it's the same attitude that I bring to Abundant Life Family Church. I realize that I'm working for Him. You are the object of His love. And if I want trouble in my life, all I need to do is to feed off of you and instead of serve you. And that's just a matter of heart and action. And does that mean that I haven't ever done it? You bet. I'm sure I have. You know, I don't know. Sometimes, you know, my wife does some wonderful things for me. And so even though I've set my heart to serve her, she serves me. And that's how a body's supposed to work. On your side, if God has blessed you with an ox, which that's what I would be, the ox. You know, if He's blessed you with an ox, don't muzzle him who treads the grain. And that's not all about, you know, we're not talking about, I know they use that for money a lot, but that's about attitudes. That's just about not being molasses. That's just not like always being the kid who's trying to, you know, cause you trouble, sneak out of the house at night. You know, you're locking the windows, boarding them up, you're doing all this stuff, but they're just connivers, you know, and you know it. So you're always trying to match wits with them. You know, always, you know, or you have that nagging wife or this and that, and it just makes you want to, oh, you just want to quit. Just run off and those kind of things. And so, you know, we don't, that's not how we should be, but I mean, sometimes, how many, does anybody even relate to anything that I'm saying? Yes. And so, just what that means is don't muzzle ox. I mean, just make it pleasant as you can. Same thing with kids. If your kids would just try to make your life pleasant, how much more would they get from you? Man, you would open up your pocketbooks and everything else. Why don't you? Because you don't can't trust them. Not everyone in the world is supposed to be here. I understand that. But if you are called here, and that's who I'm speaking to, I want you here. Because that's where your blessing is. And so the same thing with people that are not here, that are supposed to be here, I want them here. Before we can understand the authority that God puts in us individually, we must recognize the authority that He puts in others. The person next to you has authority. You're not a one-person show. The authority you have is not for yourself. It's for the body. The authority that others have is for your benefit, and yours is for theirs. God gives you authority to save others. Did you know that? His authority gives you the power to fix some aspect of a person's lives. And I don't mean just save people to the kingdom in that big broad stroke that we think of, but there's lots of saving that takes place every single day. You know, when somebody's thirsty and you take a glass of water, you know, you saved them from their thirst. God gives you authority to save others. His authority gives you the power to fix some aspect of another person's life. Maybe it's simply bringing them a glass of water. Maybe it's the power of your smiling face to cheer them up. A kind word. You know, the other day I was going along and I saw a gentleman and the Lord just put it on my heart to go over and encourage him. And I just went over and I just grabbed him by the hand. Frank, can I have your hand? You're going to be my example. And I just said, you know, I just want to let you know that I just appreciate you. And, you know, you mean a lot to me. And I just told him, he just stopped. And he's giving me the strangest look, and I'm going, what is this about? And finally he says, did God tell you to say that? He says, because I was in a really low spot, feeling a little sorry for myself. And actually, I just went over to tell him, give him encouragement. And yet it made a difference, at least in that moment. I can't speak for 5 minutes later. But you know, we have power in our lives. You know, they may not always say that, you know, that they think Jesus has touched them, but, you know, they can be encouraged. It could be something bigger than that, like, you know, working a miracle in their lives or, you know, saving their marriage through wisdom, whatever. You see, but if they will not avail themselves to the benefit that God sends you with, you know, if they won't accept it, I mean, there's not really anything you can do about that, okay? And then they're just not going to receive that benefit. They're just going to go thirsty. But here's something you need to know about having authority and working it and having it produce the benefit that you want it to. Many times before you can save someone or be a benefit to them, they first must reject you. You know, a child must rebel against you. You know, a friend's got to stab you in the back. They must stab you in the back, do wrong, abandon you, fail to recognize their need for you. Has anyone here ever been disappointed by someone in their lives? You see, and then it's only after they have hit a brick wall, because you see, they didn't receive what the Lord wanted to give them through your life. And so now they hit a brick wall because they're lacking in whatever area it is. And then somehow one day when their eyes are opened, you see, then they can repent and receive from God what He had for you. But sometimes until they rebel against you and come up against that wall, they won't do that. Do you know the story of Joseph and his brothers? God had a purpose for Joseph, and his brothers hated him. And so they sold him as a slave to the Egyptians when he was 17, and Joseph's life became a tragedy. Understand, he went through decades of his life before his purpose was fulfilled. He begged his brothers with loud cries not to do it. So anyway, he ends up in Egypt. He's a slave, and the wife of his slave master tries to molest him. And then she lied and said Joseph tried to rape her, and so he was thrown into prison. And he was there for like, he was 30 years old before he got lifted up out of that situation. All because his brothers couldn't recognize what Joseph's purpose was in their lives. In a miraculous turn of events, Pharaoh of Egypt put Joseph in charge of the land, and Joseph was second to none except Pharaoh. And Joseph prospered and stored up grain in the land for a coming famine that God had revealed to him. And so when this famine comes, Joseph's brothers are forced to come to Egypt to buy food, and guess who they appear before? Joseph. But they didn't realize it at first. When Joseph revealed himself to his brothers, they thought their goose was cooked. Because that's what people do who amass human authority. They get even. They strike back. But Joseph didn't. He embraced them. Because he realized God had used him to save his family. Not only were they saved, but they were reconciled to Joseph. And many times in our lives, God gives us power. And you know, in our lives, but before that power can be a benefit to the people we love, they first have to reject us. And then they have to run that course. And then one day, hopefully, their eyes are open to it, and then they can repent and they can be reconciled. Finally, they can love the brother who loved them. You know, it was only after his brothers came to their senses and recognized their sin that Joseph was able to save them. Before the authority in you can save intended beneficiaries, you too must be rejected. And that's why it's so important that we forgive. So that that person who rejected us or who didn't receive from us or whatever the case is has an opportunity to be reconciled to us. See, our of course, Jesus is the best example of what I'm talking about, okay? He had to be rejected by everyone. Every single one of us. Some with bitter hatred, some just out of fear, but we all reject Christ. Every single person. No one is saved before they reject Jesus. But when our eyes are opened, and we realize our sins against God, the mistakes that we've made and how shameful we are and buffoons and those things, you know, we crack. We cry out to God and we repent. We say we're sorry. Now we're ready to try something new. We're ready to receive from Him the blessings that He wants to give us. Suddenly we can receive salvation. And we're able to be reconciled to Jesus. Finally, we're able to love Him and receive the blessings that He has for us. But first, it required that He be rejected. Did you ever think of the rejections that you have faced in your life as being necessary for the people who have rejected you so that they can receive the benefit that God sent to them through you? So often we're so hurt, but we just have these twisted views of the things we've gone through, the sorrows that we've experienced, and you know, we just think it's bad, bad, bad. No. God's just opening a way through you to save lives. We all stab each other in the back. There's nothing new about that. That's why we are to forgive. Because in that process, we're saved. Therefore, we're not to keep records, because that's how we're saved. Over and over, every day, in thousands of ways. Stabbing in the back, forgiveness, reconciliation. Stop being so disappointed. And believe in the power that God has put on the inside of you, the purpose. You have a purpose. And recognize the power that God has put on the inside of you. Use it for the benefits of those God sends to you. Understand they are people are going to reject you, and that through forgiveness and love, you have the opportunity. It might take decades. I don't know how long it will take for them to be blessed. It's not you they reject anyway, but Christ in you. Like Joseph's brothers, they need to face their sins. And when they do, they'll repent. And you need to make sure that that door is open and not closed. Wouldn't that be something? After we rejected Christ, when we finally repented and were sorrowful and wanted to go home, we said, nope, sorry, door's closed. Rejection hurts. God meant for them to be a benefit to you, not to reject you and to hurt you. But instead of being the benefit that God desired them to be, they betrayed you. And I understand those things. They sold you into slavery. And it will seem like a hell. But God's working salvation through you. You just have to trust the authority that He's put on the inside of you, the authority to love and to forgive and to all those kind of things. When they hit a wall and their eyes are open, salvation will be worked in their lives and they will be reconciled to you. There's a lot of people who sowed into my life that I was mean to. Certainly wouldn't listen to, but you know what? It was their witness that later on produced fruit in me. Always forgive. Be prepared to receive them back, only not as brothers who hate you, but as ones who love you. And those bringing the benefits to you that God intended all along. Even if it takes decades, Jesus has been patient for thousands of years. In fact, how long was He patient for you? Maybe He's still being patient for you. I don't know. But when the day comes, you know, and you've come to that place and you're ready to surrender to Christ, if you have not already, you need to understand that He understood. He knew that He had to be rejected, hung on a cross. He knew all of those things. But He forgives so that we can be reconciled to Him, so we can finally love Him the way we were supposed to. You remember Peter? Peter says, oh, I'll die with you, Jesus. And that night before that very night was over, he denied Jesus three times. That's what Jesus was before the cross. But after the cross, it was different. Peter was eventually martyred for his devotion to Jesus Christ. And so we can be reconciled. But this thing of reconciliation has to do with being a part of a family and suffering the rejection of each other and being stabbed in the back and disappointing each other and all the things that we do in our humanity. But at the end of the day, each of us is called to love. And God has put that authority on the inside of each and every one of us to love so that reconciliation can take place. And it's our choice how we want to live our lives. How do we want to use the authority that God has put in our hearts? Do you want to keep records? Do you want to stay angry, bitter? Do you want to just see people burn? Or do you want to be like Joseph and have all those people who should have loved you the first time around come back and be a part of your life and love you? If it doesn't happen on earth, it'll happen in heaven. Praise God. Isn't that good news? Don't you love Jesus? Isn't His wisdom marvelous? You know, there's so many great things to take place. Bow your heads, close your eyes. Today I want to pray with you. You know, if you haven't received Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, and you want to, I'm not going to ask you to come up front or make any kind of display. I just want you in your heart to make a commitment. Just pray this prayer. Everybody pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you sent your Son, Jesus, to die for me. I'm sorry I stabbed him in the back, rejected him, considered him unworthy, someone that I didn't need, but I repent and I receive him now and acknowledge him as the Son of God, dead and raised on the third day, seated at the right hand of the Father. Lord, I trust you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.